Hello, and welcome to the Truly Amazing Women Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, the voice of entrepreneurs. In each episode of the show, we shine a spotlight on the women who are making strides and changing lives. Hello, and welcome to the Truly Amazing Women TV show on Incandescent Women Magazine. I'm Hope Katz-Gibbs, your host, here with the amazing Christine Carlson, author of 7 books, a New York Times best-selling author, and we are sitting in her magnificent home here at the top of a very beautiful hill in Northern California. So we're going to talk today about transformation, joy, and happiness, themes that permeate all of Christine's work. Before we get started, I want to tell you a little bit about how I met this amazing woman. So this book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff About Money, is a project that her husband, Richard Carlson, launched, and Christine eventually co-authored the series. So this book came out in 1997, and I bought it immediately when I saw it in the bookstore, and had been carrying it around for years. It was sitting on my bookshelf in 2010 when I launched Incandescent Magazine, the publication that I created around my company, Incandescent Public Relations, for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. So Don't Sweat the Small Stuff About Money just spoke to me. Whenever I open it up, I'm like, yep, that's true, I need to know that. So when I was creating the list of articles that I wanted to write for the magazine, this was at the top of the list. And when I went to search for Richard Carlson, I found on the website that he had passed away. And I was so devastated, but I kept reading and saw that his wife had written a book about her experience called Heartbroken Open. So this book became the connection between Chris and I. I wrote about this book and interviewed Chris for the magazine and eventually came to meet her here in California. And since then, she has become a member of my Speakers Bureau, Cover Stories, and a friend.
Thank you.
So here we are today in this beautiful home talking about her journey of transformation and her new book, From Heartbreak to Wholeness, The Hero's Journey to Joy. So Chris, welcome to Truly Amazing Women.
Thanks, Hope. Thank you so much for having me on again.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks for visiting, too.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about From Heartbreak to Wholeness, The Hero's Journey, which came out last year, so we're thrilled to be promoting it on the summer issue of Incandescent Women magazine. So tell us about this book.
So essentially, From Heartbreak to Wholeness is my journey of about 10 years distilled down into 9 chapters. When I wrote Heartbroken Open, I was very raw, and I really wrote it as a healing book. When I was in very deep grief in the early years, I would say I just couldn't understand how anyone without the tools that I had got through this. Mm-hmm. And what was fascinating is I began to sort of witness myself moving through grief. And I think that was a lot of my training. It was to be very clear about understanding that the parts of this loss that I couldn't change, the parts I couldn't control, were the things I needed to surrender to. And so that book was very healing for me and became a very deep healing companion for other women and men who have lost a partner or a child. About 2 years ago, I started to realize that I had another book in me, and it was a different kind of book. It's different in the sense of that this is a memoir, and From Heartbreak to Wholeness is a journey. And I wanted my reader to understand that no matter where they were in their journey of loss, and all kinds of loss, not just the loss of a partner or spouse, but any kind of loss that created the complete annihilation of one's identity, putting them into an identity crisis, so to speak. Those were the kind of losses that I really began to speak to over the years as I transcended and ascended from my own loss and transformed. And what I really wanted my reader to know from in this book, From Heartbreak to Wholeness, The Hero's Journey to Joy, is that loss has the power to awaken us, awaken our hearts, and awaken our lives to give us so much greater meaning. And, you know, you've heard it or you've felt it, you know, you're humming along, everything's great, most of us, when life is like that, we're taking life for granted, right? We're not really noticing the good stuff that much, and we're not really noticing anything bad. But when you can go through your loss and you can make this one pivot and you can stand at the fork in the road of change and say, I'm not going to be a victim of these circumstances. I'm going to choose to be the hero of my own story. That is really, for me, that was my personal pivot toward healing, toward growth, toward awakening, toward becoming really a transformational leader and teacher. I mean, I had written a New York Times bestselling book, two of them in the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff series already, but I never claimed that career or claimed that role as a teacher until my husband passed. And, you know, I was very blessed in the sense of I was truly broken open to such deep, really lasting wisdom. And I was able to put to use all of the tools that I had in my emotional tool belt from years in the personal growth space with my late husband, Richard, and all the tools that are available to people in the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff books.
Yeah, and they're very powerful, obviously. So tell our audience who may not know a little bit about Richard and also how he did pass.
Yeah, so you now know Richard is the author of the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff book series. Ironically, like, most people know him for that, but they don't realize that that was his 10th book. And so he had been writing for 10 years and sometimes even struggling as a writer. But Don't Sweat the Small Stuff was his 10th book, and it was just different. You know, he had really premiered that small, short essay chapter. You know, you can see the books are small. This is one of the books in the series. Don't Sweat the Small Stuff was the original book, and this was one that he wrote later in the series. But you can see they're small, and they have these 800 to 1,000 word essays, and he really wanted to find a way to reach people with the same messages that he'd been writing all along in his earlier work. And You Can Be Happy No Matter What, The 5 Principles Your Therapist Never Told You, You Can Feel Good Again, Shortcut Through Therapy. There's all these books that he had written. But he wanted to say it in a way that people could just read it quickly and understand one thing in each chapter. Mm-hmm. So that was like the powerful thing about it, is that he spoke it in a language where it transcended, you know, age, race, religion, you know, ethnic background, just every there was no separation for anyone with this book series, the way he wrote it, because he chose topics that are applicable to all human beings at all times in life, and making the series incredibly relevant even today. But Richard, you know, he was just an amazing author and man and husband and father and son and great friend, and, you know, everybody loved him. And one day, you know, when he was 45 years old, and very unexpectedly, he got on a plane. He had been suffering from some back pain. Mm-hmm. And had quite a few cortisone injections. This was not the cause of his death, but I think it was a contributing factor. He had developed deep vein thrombosis, and we didn't know it. And I didn't know that till after his death. And on the descent of this flight going into New York for a publicity tour, he died suddenly from a blood clot, a pulmonary embolism. That if you have it on a plane, it can be very lethal, and in his case, it was really instant death. But I was so ill prepared to, at 43, I was 43, he was 45, our kids were in high school. I was so ill prepared because he wasn't sick. You know, mm-hmm. You don't think people die from back pain. Like, you know it's painful, but you don't think, wow, somebody's gonna, you know, check out from back pain.
Right. Yeah.
So it wasn't the back pain. It was what the condition in his body had grown from being an athlete to then not being able to really exercise and work out, and then sitting for long periods at his computer writing and working on his work without the balance of being able to really exercise, which he'd always done his whole life. So he suffered. It was really awful. It was really sad.
Then you got the call and
I got the call, and you know, it's that phone call that everybody dreads, you know, it changes your life forever. I mean, it really changes you, puts you in crisis, you know, you're basically, I remember those words on every application, as you have to erase the person that you love from your life instantly. You know, you've got to start putting things in your name and changing things and dealing with all this financial stuff. And I just remember every time I'd go in and I'd have to fill out an application and the words surviving spouse would jump off the page and I'd be like, holy shit, you're not kidding. Holy shit, you're not kidding. I am just surviving, you know? But I never had thought about it before, of course, but boy, it was brutal. I mean, that first year is just absolutely brutal.
Do you think it's harder to go through the transition when it's a shock like that as opposed to someone who's ill?
I think that there's a little more grieving in life that happens. You know, there's a way in which if you know you're going to die, you can say goodbye and you can do your goodbyes. And I think the hardest part about losing somebody suddenly is there aren't any goodbyes. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing. You know, it's just like you're in life with that person and then they're gone. They're wiped from your life. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a much harder loss.
Yeah.
It's a much harder loss on your psyche, your brain, your the health of your body, everything.
Yeah.
It's a really true shock.
So in the years since, how have you managed to go from that space to this one?
Well, like I said, it took a long time. I mean, I will say though, even after the first 2 years, when I had written Heartbroken Open, it had come out in the third year, but I had written it the first 2 years. I was already starting to help other women that were in grief. And so, you know, I always say the best way out of the trenches yourself is to hold your hand down and have to pull with all your strength and pull somebody up and help them stand. And as you help them stand, you get stronger. Mm-hmm. And that was certainly what I felt with these devastated women that would come to this home. And we would sit in circles together and, you know, everyone would tell their story and it would be, you know, everyone had a different story and it was so heart-wrenching and healing, you know, because to be witnessed and heard and to be supportive of one another was just a really powerful, very powerful thing. I like to say that to people, one of the biggest fears when you lose a spouse or a child or anybody that you love is this idea that you have to move on. And I've always said, no, you never have to move on. You just have to move forward. Mm-hmm. And there's a big difference in that. Mm-hmm. And what I have learned that's helped me is I tell widows a lot that, you know, you have to choose to live and you have to choose to live your life not only for yourself, but allow your partner or your person that you love to live through you. And as you think of them, as you invite them along the journey with you, then in a sense, you're developing a new relationship with your person who is no longer in physical form, but I believe is very present, especially if you want them to be. And I think that has helped me so much that I, you know, and yeah, I mean, I have a life, you know, I'm in physical form, so I take care of myself. I date, I've been in love, I've had relationships, without guilt, you know, because I'm here, you know, and I felt Richard, I could hear him even say to me, you just do what you need to do to survive this and to live your best life, because life is short. And if anything, Richard taught that in his work, and he taught that by his death.
Yeah, and now you're teaching it in this remarkable way, through workshops, retreats, the circle you held here last night with a group of amazing women who all went deeper and deeper into their truths and their honesty, which was a beautiful thing to witness for me.
Thank you. I think what I wanted to do was create a journey for the reader to be able to redefine their story, rewrite their story, write their story as their own hero's journey. I felt that that would be the greatest transformation that a book could offer somebody who had gone through a life-changing crisis, identity crisis kind of change. And so in the back, there's soul inquiry, and there's a soul mantra. I also believe in guided meditation. And so there's also, you know, just for your listeners, if they go to fromheartbreaktowholeness.com, and they, if they do buy the book, then they get about 90 minutes of these soul mantras on an audio from me, where I've guided them through the soul mantra to prepare them for the journaling writing process. And you know, you don't have to be a writer to do this. Like, this is really an exercise of emptying and healing, and to define your story and see yourself as the hero of your own story. It's so powerful when you can do that. And I've actually just will lead you by the hand through the entire process. So,
I mean, this really is a culmination of everything that you've learned in your teaching.
I can't wait for you to do it.
Yeah, me too. Well, let's pick this one, your new story. This is what I opened to on page 54. This time of awakening finds you at another powerful choice point. Will you choose to become better from this loss, or will you choose to become bitter? Will you break open or shut down? If you are stuck, write about why you are stuck. Is it anger, or refusal to grieve, or fear of change? What is Spirit calling you to do to awaken your heart? How can you create space from this for more stillness in order to open and surrender to your heart? I love that, because that really encapsulates the whole concept, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, it really does. And I think that must have been in like the chapter about self-care. That's and how important it is to acknowledge that the world will tell you in grief to busy yourself, you know, to really stay super, super busy. But I would say that's actually the opposite of what you should do if you really want to transform and heal. You need to create and carve out the time to feel your feelings, to be in those emotional releases, to allow yourself to empty grief, because grief will never go away if you don't allow it to be felt and emptied. It just saves itself for another day.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, and it's just, it's going to leak out. It turns into other things. You know, instead of it being sadness or sorrow, it turns into anger and bitterness and things that close you down as opposed to open you. But when you can really learn, and there's techniques in this book that I share with you about how important it is to just give yourself the space to sit and breathe and lay on the floor and allow yourself to surrender to what is. And you know, there's always just one question to identify something really big in your life, and that is, can I change this?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Boil it down. Mm-hmm. I love that.
If you can't change it, it's pretty clear that you have to surrender to it.
And that's really not taught, right? These are lessons that run counter to how we're taught to, like, suck it up and soldier on. And
yeah, and I don't know about anybody else, but I really didn't want to be in grief forever. You know, I don't think grief is love. I think grief is an emotional response to loss. And love is actually living in joy. So I wanted to be in my grief long enough to be through it, go through it, you know, all the way in is out. And then I wanted to be out, you know, like, and I'm out, you know, I feel like I'm one of the happiest people that I know. I wake up and I feel so much joy every single day. And it just, you know, I will say it might take a few sips of coffee. Yeah. Maybe a few sips of coffee. I'm not probably the happiest person until those first few sips. But when I sit down and get my coffee, go back to bed, and I just, in the silence of the morning, and I meditate, and I feel so happy. Mm. And I didn't think, you know, I still love my late husband. I loved him with my whole heart and soul, and he loved me with his whole heart and soul. And I didn't think I could live one day without him. So for me, almost, you know, 12, 13 years later, to be in this place of pure joy, it just tells you that, you know, grief has its time in your life. And I will never not miss him. I miss him every day. But my daughter said something really wise once, and she said, I asked her how she was doing, and she said, I asked her if she missed her dad. She goes, well, of course, I miss my dad, Mom. I'll always miss him. But she goes, the difference is I'm just accustomed to what it feels like to miss him.
Mm. Get used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this idea of joy and happiness is part of your work. So talk about what you're going toward now.
Yeah. So right now we're doing our happiness training courses on the Don't Sweat site, which is really cool because I feel like I'm still working with Richard, because the first two courses are going to be based on his early work. One is, it's going to be called You Can Be Happy, which is based on his book, You Can Be Happy No Matter What. And I see the five principles to keeping life in perspective. They did change the subtitle on that. They thought they might piss too many therapists off. So it's five principles that keep life in perspective. And that is going to be the first course. The second course is going to be called Stop Thinking, Start Living, which is really all about how to get off your own trajectory of thinking. It really teaches people in depth about thought as a principle of mental health and well-being. And so it's powerful. Richard's videos are going to be a thread throughout them. There's going to be powerful imagery. It's all based on the teachings of his early work. So I'll be the teacher, and then Richard will be in the support role, because we'll be weaving different pieces of video that we have of him throughout the course. So I'm really excited about that. I'm so excited.
And you're doing other things as well. So you have a new company called Book Doulas.
Yeah, that's been so much fun. I've partnered up with a wonderful developmental editor, Deborah Evans. And she just has a wide breadth of experience. She's helped about 20 women and men write their own books over the last 10 or 15 years. And we've created an amazing program that really helps people get into the author world. So yeah, so you can go to bookdoulas.com to find out, you know, what that's all about. This last year we helped several women complete their books. Very powerful. We've got other programs that we're launching about building platform, and we really want to form authors. And so there's definitely some stages and steps that a lot of the industry doesn't tell you, and that's what our course is going to be about. But we are going to lead people right up to the doorway of writing their book. They'll be very prepared to write their book.
Which is awesome, because it is quite the process.
It's
a process. Who's written a book,
writing a book is a transformation in and of itself.
It really is. I mean, you
it
make
really
yourself
is.
In fantastic ways.
Don't you? Yes, you do.
It's a beautiful thing. Yeah. You can get through it, right?
And yeah, for sure.
And to help people also, you have these wonderful retreats.
Yeah, so I, you know, I'm in the stage of my career where I just do what I love to do. And a long time ago, you know, during like the 2008 financial crisis, I decided that the best way for me to cut back was not to spend money on travel. And so at that point, I decided that I would create travel experiences that I could deduct, and I would still get travel.
There you go.
Perfect. So, and I love to travel with women. I love to lead retreats. I've done some work with some amazing transformational leaders myself over the years. I mean, really, every year I do something major for my own transformation. I enter into something as a participant. And it's usually something very intense. So I've had a lot of experience. I've just had a lot of experience. Can't even go into it. It's so deep. But I love to hold retreats. Some of them, like our trip to Italy and Bali, are more cultural and they're more lighthearted. But I do wisdom circles, and we do yoga every day. That's one of the things. Because for me, a vacation to me isn't a vacation unless I'm doing yoga every day. And so we do yoga every day. I usually pick some place where there's some nature, where we can get out and hike. And then I always pick someplace fun, because I want to go have fun. I want to learn about a new culture. I mean, you can't miss in Italy. I mean, you know, I'm kind of hitting the eat, pray, love. So I'm doing like Italy, Bali. And then I have a program called What Now? And it's for women, and mostly just women in transition and who've gone through a big change, empty nest even, or career change or a loss, and they're at that point of growth where they're saying, what do I do now? Mm-hmm. What now? And so the program is really an online program plus a retreat, and the retreat it's just phenomenal. I just come off of the retreat right a couple days ago, and it's just a it's so beautiful to see these women arrive. You know, they're scared. They're a little bit like, what am I doing here? And then at the end, they've got this light, and they've broken open, and they have this beautiful light, and they're all connected, and it's just an incredible retreat. So
fantastic.
I love it. I mean, it's become a passion of mine.
Yeah. Well, why not?
Yeah.
You know, be the change you wish to see in the world, for sure. And that's really a theme of all these videos. Whatever women I'm interviewing, there's always this light within them that guides others, and that's the goal of Incandescent Women magazine, the Truly Amazing Women TV show, which you are watching today's episode of with the amazing Christine Carlson. Her new book is From Heartbreak to Wholeness, The Hero's Journey to Joy, so be sure to check that out, take some guided meditations with her, and follow Chris. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, your host. We'll talk to you soon. All right.
That's it for today's episode of the Truly Amazing Women Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, the voice of entrepreneurs. If you're a truly amazing woman or know someone who is, don't hesitate to contact us. Simply log on to www.trulyamazingwomen.com and fill out the proposal form. We've profiled more than 250 women on the site who fit the bill of being truly amazing, and we look forward to honoring more. Who will be our next truly amazing woman? Tune in next week for a new episode on www.incandescentradio.com. Here's to your incredible, indelible success.